This is Jay Sekulow, the unusual email on the last day of the Obama administration.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I found an odd and disturbing email from Susan Rice. At 12:15 on January the 20th, the day of the inauguration, she emails herself about a meeting that occurred on January the 5th in the Oval Office, and she says in the email that the president was being briefed by the intelligence community about Russian hacking in the 2016 election, and had a follow-on brief meeting with Sally Yates, Jim Comey, herself, and Vice President Biden.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
So she's sending herself an email talking about a conversation on January the 5th with the president, reassuring herself and I guess the president that this would be done by the book. I think that's odd and disturbing because we know that the investigation regarding the Trump campaign was anything but by the book.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Those are the words of Senator Lindsey Graham. So here's what happened. On January 20th, 2017, Inauguration Day, the existing National Security Advisor, Susan Rice, sent an email to herself documenting that President Obama's concerns and guidance about Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election, also discussed the Steele dossier, and sharing information with Trump's incoming team. The email documents a January 5th, 2017 meeting between President Obama, former FBI Director James Comey, the Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates, and Vice President Biden and Rice. Not there is the National Security CIA Director or any of them. So this is more FBI and Susan Rice. The January 5th meeting referred to in the email occurred one day before James Comey met with then-President-elect Trump to brief him on national security issues, including the dossier, and inform him that he was not under investigation. By this time, both Yates and Comey had obtained FISA warrants to surveil Carter Page and were likely preparing to renew the warrant by, ready for the date, January 19th, the day before the Rice email. So we have an ongoing FOIA litigation that we're involved in right now dealing with the unmasking issues of Susan Rice. We were talking about those for 2 years. But this, I think, shows you the reason we're calling it unusual, and the media is calling it unusual, and Senator Graham called it odd, is it's a memo from Susan Rice to herself. That's what's so unusual about this, Jordan.
Yeah, it's Susan Rice to Susan Rice 2 weeks and a day later. So 2 weeks later than the actual meeting occurred on inaugural day. The day that President Trump, I mean, I think he's pretty close at this point in time. This is at 12:15 p.m. Eastern time. He's not far away from taking that oath of office. So this is literally her final time. Is about an hour away. Yeah, hour away from taking the oath. And this is like her final hour at the White House, and she's rushing this email so that it be from her official account sent to herself talking about a meeting between President Obama, Vice President Biden, Jim Comey, Deputy AG Sally Yates, and then of course Susan Rice, all about Trump and Russia. Now they're talking about the transition at this point, but we're even when they had this meeting, it's 15 days out. I mean, the transition period is kind of over too.
What's interesting though is the meeting itself took place the day before James Comey met with President-elect Trump and discussed the dossier at Trump Tower.
And the way she wrote the email, I mean, the senators picked up on this. I talked about this last night on Fox News. It made no sense for a lot of these people to be there if it was true. She said the president began the meeting that he wanted the investigation of the Trump-Russia, the collusion, done by the book. I guess Jim Comey needed that constant reminder. Don't go do things not by the book. Maybe that was after what he did with Hillary Clinton. President Obama felt like he needed to do that. But he also stressed the president that he is not asking about, initiating, or instructing anything from a law enforcement perspective. So the senator asked, okay, not from a law enforcement perspective, what other perspectives was he asking, initiating, or
counterintelligence?
This is that typical Obama administration language, very specifically chosen words. But it wasn't a memorandum like of that day. It was 2 weeks later.
Yeah, this is it's unusual and odd are the right words for this. All right, we're going to talk about this. We want your reaction to all this as well. Logan, everybody can call in and get their comments in and call as well.
Phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Broadcasting video and audio on Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, at Jay Sekulow, Facebook.com/Jay Sekulow.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
To the broadcast, everyone. We've got a FOIA request that we're in litigation on, American Center for Law and Justice versus the United States National Security Agency. The issue there is the unmasking issue. By the way, these letters go back, by the way, to April of 2017. I mean, this was, you know, back in April. We filed the request, then we had to file the lawsuit because we didn't get a response, which is typically what happens here. But what you've got is on January 20th, on Inauguration Day, you literally have Susan Rice, National Security Advisor, emailing herself documenting the President Obama's concerns and guidance about a Russian interference on the 2016 election. Comey is there, among others, including the Vice President, Deputy AG Sally Yates. And the meeting referred to in the email occurred one day before Comey met with President-elect Trump at Trump Tower, briefing him on national security issues as well as the dossier. Also, the next day, well, the day before this email was put together, they renewed the FISA warrant that we now have learned so much about. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're calling this unusual and odd because we're trying to figure out what was the purpose of doing it. And this is, I want to play what is, this was from Senator Graham during what, Will? Was this a hearing?
Last night,
Senator Lindsey Graham was talking about all of this. Take a listen to what he said.
What I'm worried about is it's an effort by the president to basically get himself on the record through Susan Rice to make sure that from his point of view, everything was done by the book. The question is, did the president know anything about the FISA warrant application?
I mean, that's a question that we don't have an answer to, but I think it's an important question. Dan, we talked about this during the break to our audience on Facebook and Periscope, but let's have our radio audience here. What is your sense of this and how is this thing playing out right now?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to remind people that part of the reason this email is out in the public is because we were litigating behind the scenes, Jay. This email would be responsive to the litigation we have ongoing. It has not yet been produced in the various productions that we've received. But I think they knew, Jay, that eventually it was going to have to come out. And so it came out in a different setting. But that pressure behind the scenes was worthwhile. But then on substance, Jay, I'm most concerned about the repetitive behavior here of the outgoing administration seeking to undermine the incoming Trump administration. I mean, I certainly felt that was the case when they dramatically expanded the access that agencies had to information. I don't see any other way to look at this, Jay, than there's a conversation in the final days about what information can be shared with the newly elected president. It's an inappropriate conversation. And secondarily, I do think it's putting a marker in the sand, trying to cover themselves to say, oh, we did everything by the book. But guess what is not doing something by the book? Not sharing information with the incoming president, who then is responsible for dealing with that information.
Well, in the email, Susan Rice says, from a quote from a National security perspective, however, President Obama said he wants to be sure that as we engage with the incoming team, we are mindful to ascertain if there's any reason that we cannot share information fully as it relates to Russia. So part of that that they did not disclose, I'm sure, or confident that they didn't disclose that they had a FISA warrant on Carter Page, that they had renewed, was already through one renewal and was about to be renewed, that was renewed the day before Susan Rice did this email. So again, odd and unusual is I think are the right words of the day on this.
Susan Rice, through her attorney, has said specifically, because the dossier is obviously a touchy subject for her, that she immediately came out and said the dossier wasn't. Now, the news report said the dossier was covered. Now, what there's some confusion is that there was a meeting before this meeting with counterintelligence officials. So was the dossier, did it come up there? Yeah. And is she only answering to that it didn't come up in this smaller meeting with the vice president, the president, Sally Yates, the deputy attorney general, and Susan Rice with Jim Comey? Is she trying to parse it and say it didn't come up in that meeting? And the president obviously knew. This is the first time I think we have confirmation that President Obama was aware, not of Russia trying to interfere with our elections. I don't think that's new for any president of the United States. But that there was a specific Trump connection that the FBI and potentially intelligence communities were trying to track down. There were warrants out there. I mean, why would he ask Jim Comey to let him know about sharing the information about Russia if he didn't know about these FISA warrants?
I completely, you're right. Yeah, no, you're completely right. I mean, it's odd and unusual is the words.
When did the Mike Flynn, we got to look at that. When did the Mike Flynn communications leak to the public that they were obviously surveilling them?
Yeah.
Because I feel like that was probably before this meeting.
I think so, but let's check that out. All right, we're going to take calls at 1-800-684-3120. A lot of people listening across the country on radio and thousands on Facebook and Periscope as well, and on our website at aclj.org. But let's go ahead and take a call. We want your reaction to this, too, at 1-800-684-3110.
All right, ready?
Yep.
Let's go to Ryan in Phoenix, Arizona, on line one.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, gentlemen. I think the most interesting piece to this is that Obama, after the meeting, gives Comey a deliverable that says, let me know if we need to stop continuity of government based on your information. That is a huge deliverable, and they better have more information than just a fake dossier paid by the opposing campaign delivered by Russia.
Yeah, so here's the interesting thing. I mean, she does say in the email, I mean, this is right out of Susan Rice's email, and I'm reading it here on our screen, and that she says, President Obama said he wants to be sure that as we engage the incoming team, that's the President-elect Trump's team, we are mindful to ascertain if there's any reason we cannot share information fully as it relates to Russia. So, I mean, she puts that in there. Again, it's an odd and unusual email. There's no question about that, but it's in there. I mean, we're just reporting what is in there, and that's one of the things that are in there.
Yeah, I mean, it goes on to say that the president then, I mean, there is a part that's redacted. And then after that redaction, it said the president asked Comey to inform him. I mean, we're talking about the last two weeks of the administration. Yeah. The president asked Comey to inform him if anything changes in the next few weeks that should affect how we share classified info with the incoming team. Comey said he would. And the next day, Jim Comey takes that dossier up to Trump Tower and tells Donald Trump about it. You can take them all at their word. You can't. I don't want to make allegations that we can't, but it stinks.
It's unusual.
It just reeks. I think that's why you have Senator Grassley and Senator Graham, who are very. I think when it comes to this, they're not like
conspiratorial.
They're not Donald Trump cheerleaders. Let me put it that way. They're not. They're long-term U.S. senators in the Senate Judiciary Committee,
and they're saying this
is bizarre.
What is strange?
I mean, they used the word strange about Susan Rice. This email to herself.
Yeah, on the last day, literally the last day, last minute.
While the festivities are ongoing for the inauguration, but I think more interesting was this is a meeting that happened the day before Comey went up to brief
Trump. That's the takeaway.
Did that come up in the meeting?
Yeah, I don't know. So that's the question. And then when you say, well, maybe we shouldn't discuss it, and there are things we shouldn't discuss. What was that? We don't know that. So again, we're just putting the time frame together for you, and you can draw your own conclusions. And my conclusion right now is odd and unusual. Logan, what are we seeing online? We'll take more calls at 800-684-3110.
Yeah, a lot of people are asking about accountability. Ronnie said, Jay, when are we going to see some actual accountability? A lot of people are frustrated with even hearing these things. Like Ryan said, I'm tired of hearing about these things. We need to do something about it. It feels like a waste of time.
Well, it's because every day there's something new. So, I mean, you know, it is hard to wrap your head around the scenarios as they're changing. What I try to do on this broadcast and what I try to do generally is you try to put time frames together and timelines together to see what exactly you know, possibly was going on. And it's not as if the Senate's not looking at this. So then I think it's important for Ryan's question, his comment that came in on Facebook. It's important to understand that obviously this was raised by Senators Grassley and Graham for a reason.
It was raised by Senators Grassley and Graham, and I think they're doing good work. I do have reason to believe that the Senate Intel Committee might not be doing as good of a work. That's maybe another topic, Jay. But just to put one other time frame in the one that you're laying out, at the time of this conversation, people need to remember that there was already a warrant issued to surveil a United States citizen, Carter Page. Yep. And did that dossier come up in the meeting? We don't know. But we do know, Jay, that 2 weeks later, on January 19th, they had to go back to the FISA court, presumably with the dossier again, to renew that warrant.
But so it happened the middle of it. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, the idea that it wouldn't come up in a meeting 2 weeks in advance of a renewal, that is a little bit hard to believe.
Especially when the next day, James Comey met with President-elect Trump and briefed him on the dossier and said he was not under investigation. Now, you know, there's a lot of moving parts in all this. And again, trying to put it into a time frame. So you had the FISA warrant applications that went on in the fall. We know that. And then based on the Steele dossier and the Isikoff news report, which was based on the dossier. So that's pretty much unequivocal right now. I mean, there doesn't seem to be any real question on that as the basis upon which that went forward. According to the Nunez memo, the only reason they went to the FISA court and sought the warrant was because they had the Steele dossier. And then we know that Steele gets removed from the FBI cooperation officially because he was leaking to the press. At the same time, there is unofficial statements going on. And then in the summer, before all this started, you had Bruce Orr's wife working for Fusion. Bruce Orr was the number four at the Justice Department, working for Fusion GPS on the Russia dossier, working with Christopher Steele. You had all that going on, and then you have now this meeting that takes place, and at the meeting that takes place, they discuss apparently a lot of this. We don't know the exact, and we don't know for sure if the dossier was discussed, but we do know, as Jordan said, that the dossier was discussed the very next day at Trump Tower. That we know.
Yes, we know that. I mean, we know. The dossier, Susan Rice is denying, and by the way, Senator Grassley and Graham are saying that the dossier was discussed in this meeting.
Yes.
It is Susan Rice saying through her attorney that it was not, but there were two meetings back to back. So one of those meetings maybe came up, but what we know 100% is that the dossier was being discussed by one of the attendees at this meeting, Jim Comey, with President-elect Trump the very next day in New York City at Trump Tower.
More questions than answers is the question, or is the issue. All right, Logan, let everybody know how they can stay engaged. Talk to us. We'll take more calls when we come back from the break.
That's right. Phone lines lighten up at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You can also get your comments like we took some this segment. We'll take some more coming up in the break and in the future segments. But again, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
That song play for the next next segment, because it's not often you get to have a jam session with Ricky Skaggs. Ricky Skaggs, of course, the bluegrass legend, is incredible, and he was sat in with our band a couple years back, and we did a famous Marshall Tucker Band tune called "Can't You See," which is one of my all-time favorites. And I played guitar on that one with Ricky Skaggs, so I could say I played guitar with Ricky Skaggs. I didn't play it on the Opry, but I did play with Ricky Skaggs' guitar while he was playing an incredible mandolin. Anyways, back to the topic. 1-800-684-3110. The odd and unusual email of Susan Rice. Last day, last minute, last second, as the teams are changing, in comes an email. And Logan, you said there was a little bit of a frustration level in our listening audience as to where this goes.
Yeah, a lot of people, it's most of the comments are, you know, is this just smoke? When will we see some action? Any accountability for this? We are seeing a general distaste, I would say, for these type of things, because they don't feel like anything happens.
All right, so, Than, let's talk about how this has even come. This came up, you're saying, because of FOIA matters. It may have been part of that, but also we know that the Senate, Senators Grassley and Graham, raised this issue.
Well, we always say it's all of the above, Jay. I mean, no matter where a piece of information comes out, it's always due to a compilation of pressure points. One of those pressure points is on the outside when we litigate in Freedom of Information Act request. Jay, and this email would have been responsive to our litigation. We did not get it yet in those productions. It came out through the Senate, but it all works together. I did want to make one other point, and Will and our production team raised this. We do know, Jay, that back in September, Lisa Page and Peter Strzok were texting that the president wants to know everything we are doing. That would be consistent with what Susan Rice memorialized on her last day in office about these updates. So look, we don't know everything that happened, but this is not in a vacuum. This would be a consistent narrative that the president and his team may have been being briefed on all of this.
Yeah, when it comes to these actors, Susan Rice is a bad one. I mean, we do know that. The reason why she did not move past being UN ambassador and was not the Secretary of State likely was because of how she handled Benghazi. And the lying. I mean, it was outright lying. I mean, she did the full Ginsburg and lied in each one of those about the reason why the attack occurred. Remember, that was Susan Rice. So to take her at her word is, I think, again, not, you don't want to just look at this and say, oh, it's bizarre and leave it there. And that's not what these senators are doing. What these senators are doing is they're exactly how we're going through it. Okay, one, the first thing that stands out is this is done on Inauguration Day. It's like one of her final official acts is memorializing a two-week-old meeting between Sally Yates, and we know how she ended up for the Trump administration when she was acting AG and did that whole, we're not going to enforce the executive orders of the President of the United States. And so it was Sally Yates. I wonder at the time, was Loretta Lynch out, on the way out already? Like, I mean, it was 2 weeks before.
Was Sally Yates acting? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it doesn't say she was acting. It said deputy. Yeah. And at that time, again, you've got Jim Comey popping up once again, and Susan Rice, also Vice President Biden. I mean, you got the president and the vice president being not just informed. By the way, it does not appear like this was the first time they heard about this idea of collusion. So it appears like this was an ongoing narrative. Like, this wasn't something brand new to them. I think she would have probably memorialized that and said that this was something new has come about. But instead, it was like a follow-up, like something we're continuing to discuss about how we handle these final few weeks while we're in office of dealing with the presidency. And I do point to what Than says. Regardless of what was out there, even that they knew about Mike Flynn, by the way, phone call that, again, shouldn't lie to people about your phone calls, but the content of it, may not like it if you're one politics, others who we're coming into his position from like the Bush administration, so it would absolutely be a normal call to reach out to the Rushes during that transition period and say, lay off for the next few weeks and give us time to get in place. So with all that said, what the idea they were going to hide information from the incoming administration on a country that President Obama said wasn't a threat when he was in a debate with Mitt Romney,
right,
and made fun of Mitt Romney for saying Russia was a major threat. So it just all of it.
Well, also, don't forget.
Put it to the big picture, though.
They also had that change in the executive order. Was about, what was the date of the executive order change? Was it January 12th? I'm going to look at, remember, they changed the executive order on how they did the information sharing. It went from three agencies to 16 or 17. That's all taking place at the same time. So for almost 8 years of the Obama administration, short 2 weeks, they were fine with just the three agencies getting this intelligence information. And then all of a sudden, you have, with days to go, they changed the policy through an executive order. So all of that has to be put into this mix. That's why what I'd like to do is I'd like to see a timeline put together, and we'll get our team to do this. I'd like to see a timeline put together on all of this. Just a complete timeline breakdown of what happened during this entire period of time. Anything that was, quote, odd or unusual. And just put it in, and maybe not just what's odd and unusual. Find out what was going on there and see if that tells you anything. Sometimes you can figure out a narrative better when you have that kind of scenario. All right, we're taking calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. So we'll take some of your calls when we come back from the break. We know there's frustration out there. I mean, Logan, that's pretty clear. People are saying, okay, because every day it is a new story. I mean, we have to cover it. Because this is out there, and these are significant issues, but it's an odd and unusual last day email.
Final day. I mean, literally, the bands are playing, the people are assembling for hours already to prepare for the inauguration, and this is what Susan Rice is doing. The last minute she's got access to her National Security Council email account, she wants to make sure, probably one of the final emails she sent was memorializing a two-week-old meeting. A two-week-old meeting that sounds like it was something that occurred fairly regularly between this group of people. And I guess Sally Yates, this was under her profile as well, or, you know, that this was something that fell under what she oversaw for the Department of Justice. And it came right after a counterintelligence meeting. And let's not forget, Jim Comey was there.
Yep.
As always. Pops up everywhere.
Uh-huh.
Because then he popped up the next day at Trump Tower with the dossier.
Yeah.
And said, Mr. President, even though he testified that it was salacious and unverified, took it and hung it over the president's head.
Yeah.
So, and said, by the way, this is floating around the intelligence world about you, so we have this. I mean, that's basically what Comey did. You realize that.
Yeah. So I'm going to, we're going to put a timeline together. I think that would be helpful to understand kind of a timeline of what was everything that was going on at this particular time. And get a real sense of that. Grassley and Graham said, it strikes us as odd that among your activities in the final moments on the final day of the Obama administration, you would feel the need to send yourself such an unusual email. I think that kind of says it all. So the question is, though, Than, I do want to, before we get to the break here, let people know, where does it go? That's what people want to know.
Well, I think the committee is going to have to ask the fundamental question, did information actually get withheld from the administration? Because, look, if you give Susan Rice every benefit of the doubt, which I think Jordan's correct that we shouldn't, but let's just give her every benefit of the doubt for the moment and say she forgot to memorialize this, thought this was important, she wasn't covering her tracks. Well, what was the takeaway here? The takeaway here was that the president of the United States, outgoing, did not want to turn over information about another foreign country to the incoming president, who would then have to deal with it. Jay, in our system of government, our transition of powers, an intentional withholding of information like that is just simply not appropriate. So you give Susan Rice every benefit of the doubt you want, and this is still horribly problematic.
All right, Logan, we are here for another 30 minutes, and we need to let everybody know, if they don't get the full hour of the broadcast, how they can get it.
That's right. You can join us many different ways. If you don't get the show on your local station, go to ACLJ.org. You can watch it there. You can listen on the ACLJ app, available in the App Store. You can also find us on Facebook and Periscope, Facebook.com/JSeculo, broadcasting live for an additional half hour. And also on Periscope and Twitter @JSeculo. Archive later on, again, on the ACLJ app and on the JSeculo Live podcast feed, available on iTunes. All right, phone lines are open right now, 1-800-684-3110, to visit ACLJ.org.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, ACLJ.org.
That's the instrumental from Fooling Yourself, which may be an appropriate song for today, I might add. All right, so on January 20th, Inauguration Day, exiting National Security Advisor Susan Rice sent an email to herself, documenting President Obama's concerns and guidance about Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. The Steele dossier, at least that's what Graham and Grassley are saying, sharing information with Trump's incoming team. The email documents a January 5th meeting between President Obama, former FBI Director James Comey, Deputy AG Sally Yates, Vice President Biden, and Rice. The January 5th, 2017 meeting referred to in Rice's email occurs one day before James Comey meets with President-elect Trump to debrief him on national security issues, the dossier, and inform him that he was not under investigation. But what's also interesting in here is there's a line in the email where Susan Rice says that the president raised the issue of what they should or should not share with the incoming administration. And then they briefing the incoming administration the next day. And this email, by the way, is sent at the last moment of the last day of when Susan Rice was the national security advisor, and she sent the email to herself. So it raises a whole host of questions. The Senate has called it out unusual. I'm calling it unusual. It's a paper trail, obviously. They were trying to say something in this, and yeah. So we're just trying to figure out what that something is. And what I want to do is put together a timeline of what else was happening around it. We know that January 5th, for instance, we know that the next day James Comey's up meeting with President-elect. We know that on January 19th, there was a renewal of the FISA warrant the day before Susan Rice does this email. And we know that in the email itself, there's the statement of the president raised the issue of what should or should not be shared with the incoming administration, the incoming team. So there you have it. And we're laying that out for you. And we don't have that whole timeline together yet. Obviously, this broke last night, so we're still kind of looking at that. But it does raise the issue, I mean, of what exactly was going on here. And I like putting the timeline together on the whole matter, this whole thing. And it's just bizarre. It just is. So we'll take your calls and comments at 800-684-3110. Jordan, what's your sense of this?
Well, I think what you brought up was important there that happened on the 19th, but the day before this, I think we need to make that clear. This was the Carter Page renewal, one of the renewals of the Carter Page. Was this the final renewal? I think so. I think it was done after the new administration. But this was the fourth and final FISA warrant. So it was almost a year. It's every 90 days. So it's every 90 days, four of them. It's 360 days of surveillance, which, by the way, led to what action by the intelligence communities on Carter Page?
So then the question,
nothing.
Yeah, right. Then the question, Than, is Than Benner, of course, our director of governmental affairs, is what are Senators Grassley and Graham asking to be explained here? And what is it?
Well,
that
they want answers. They want answers from Susan Rice on why exactly she thought it important to memorialize this. Was it for a specific purpose? They also want additional information about the meeting and what was discussed, specifically who was in the room when the dossier was discussed. That's one of the things they want to know. But, Jay, I think another important data point here, and it may not be particularly exactly the same issues, but remember, it was just 8 days prior that the executive order issued where they wanted to expand the access to classified information. So, look.
16 additional agencies there. I mean, they wanted to go to 16 instead of three.
So you're talking about sensitive information, and the outgoing administration wants to provide it to essentially everyone except for the incoming president. That's not the way this is supposed to work.
That's an important way of looking at it. You're right. All right. We're taking calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. Logan's been manning our social media accounts. What, same sentiment?
Yeah, mostly. Mostly people that are just frustrated. When will they be held accountable? When they will be responsible? Those are the comments that are coming up.
Well, they've asked Susan Rice to appear, right, Than? Or to hand over documents?
They've asked her to respond to questions
February
in writing first.
22nd or 26th, yeah. Yep. So it's not like they're not asking. And we've got FOIA litigation going on right now. I'm holding it. This is the lawsuit that we filed. But by the way, we started on this in April of last year. So this has been around for us for almost 10 months. So a lot going on. All right. We're going to take your calls and comments. We come back, 1-800-684-3110. Logan will let you know how you can stay engaged on all sorts of
That's
issues.
Right. If you're watching online, too, the exclusive video will be coming up in the breaks. You get to watch that. And that's if you're watching, again, on ACLJ.org or on social media, Facebook.com/JSeculo, Periscope, or Twitter at JSeculo. Also, yep, you can give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, and get your comments in online. We'll take some of those and go to ACLJ.org.
All right. Also, don't forget to support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at ACLJ.org. Make sure you're getting our emails and updates. You can sign up for those on the website as well at ACLJ.org. All right. We'll be back with more, including your phone calls. Comments. We'll read those too, and we'll take some more calls when we come back from the break.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
So on January 20th of 2017, while the inaugural festivities were going on and about an hour before the president-elect was sworn in as president, Susan Rice, the outgoing National Security Advisor, sends an email to herself documenting President Obama's concern and guidance regarding Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election, the Steele dossier, according to Graham and Grassley, and information with the Trump's incoming team, from a meeting that took place on January 5th, 2017. Now, the January 5th date's interesting because the very next day, and James Comey was there, the very next day, James Comey interviews meets with the president-elect and talks about the Steele dossier, among other things. And the day before Susan Rice writes the email is the renewal date for the FISA warrant against Carter Page. So I'm going to ask our director of policy, Harry Hutchinson, who's been, I'm glad he's back with us, was out with what everybody's getting, this pandemic flu, but he's back in good spirits. What is your take? Welcome back, and what was your take on this?
Well, thanks, Jay. My take is very, very simple. Susan Rice continues a string of bizarre behavior. She first became famous for her oddball behavior on national television, where she claimed that the Benghazi attacks, which were triggered by terror, were triggered by a video in the United States. No one believes that. She did not believe it, in my opinion, when she made those statements. And so now she is sending an email to herself 15 minutes before she leaves office, 15 minutes before President Obama leaves office. She's doing this in order to, A, defend herself, but also perhaps to provide cover for President Obama with respect to this so-called Russia collusion narrative, which is collapsing as we now know.
So, again, Than, I go back up to you, and I want to get Jordan's comments too, but here's what I'm trying to look at. I think what Harry says is that correct. I don't think we know what the entire scope of this email is. I don't think we have that answered yet.
But Than...
Obviously, it's gotten the concern of Senator Graham and Senator Grassley, and nobody would accuse them of being conspiratorial.
Well, I think even they would tell you they don't have the whole scope, and that's why they're asking these questions. Let me just give you a flavor of the questions. I won't go through all of them, but they want to know when she became aware of the fact that there was a FISA warrant out. Did she know it? I mean, it was renewed the day before. Surely she should have or may have. Did anyone instruct her to write this email memorializing that? That would be important. They also want to know whether or not the president had additional meetings with James Comey. And this might be the most important one. During the meeting, did Mr. Comey describe the status of the FBI's relationship with Mr. Steele or the basis for that status? Jay, if we get the answers to those and the other list of questions, we'll have a much better idea on why she drafted the email in the first place.
Two of the five people in this meeting signed warrants on Carter Page. Jim Comey right. and Sally Yates. You know, I kept thinking, why Sally Yates and not Loretta Lynch, a few weeks left in the administration? And then I think about it, two of the five, the people that would have the authority, were in this meeting to sign maybe that one the day before. We don't know. We do know from the Nunes memo who signed the warrants, and we know that two of the five people were in that room had signed warrants to surveil members or former members of Donald Trump's presidential campaign.
I'm smiling because, let's just look at this.
The president wasn't involved.
The president wasn't involved. Well, here's the problem. The problem is nobody knows what this was. I mean, at the end of the day, the only person that knows what she was doing on this is Susan Rice. So she's going to have to give an account for that. But folks, look at the facts, and I'm going to lay out the time frame of this in the coming days because, Harry, one of the things that – you taught law school for, 25 years?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you always tell law students, get familiar with the facts. Understand the timelines. And there are multiple intersecting timelines on this where they come into an intersection, whether it's the FISA warrant, whether it is the interview, whether it's this meeting, whether it's then the meeting with the president-elect and James Comey, whether it's the change of the executive order and how they distribute intelligence information. I want to get all – this would be a fascinating study in, say, November through February of 2016, 2017, what took place. I'm going to put that timeline together. I want to know what happened.
Absolutely, and we would also like to see transcripts of the actual conversation because it's very, very possible that President Obama put pressure – on James Comey to renew the FISA warrant application, which took place shortly after this meeting. It's also important to remember that the FISA warrant application took place shortly before or after some unmasking took place.
Yeah.
And that was tied back to the Loretta Lynch, James Clapper memo, which allowed raw signal intelligence to be disseminated throughout the intelligence community. So there are so many unanswered questions, but again, Susan Rice is at the center of it all, and she's placed herself there.
Yeah, so the lawsuit that we've got in the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia against the United States National Security Agency is a FOIA case. We started it, April 13th of 2017, was in court later after we didn't get a response, which is typically what happens here, and then you file the lawsuit, which we did. What's interesting about this is that we're just now starting to get information on it, but all of this... This litigation really was involving the unmasking. In fact, I think our lawyers – we got two lawyers in court today. I think it was today on this right now in Washington or maybe this morning or this afternoon. But within the last 24 hours, 24 hours to come or last 24 hours they were there. But again, we're trying to get answers to this. All right, let's go ahead and take some phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. John is calling from Portland, Oregon. He's on line 4. Hi, John.
Hi, I just have a simple question. You kind of – talked about it, but is anything going to ever happen? Like, are people going to be arrested or anything on this, or what?
No, I don't think people are going to be arrested. I mean, I think there's just people call about for being arrested. There has to be a violation of criminal law, and private lawyers cannot bring criminal actions. We don't represent, and I have represented states when I'm appointed as a lawyer. I've represented the state of Georgia in a case. I've represented the state of Alabama in a case, and then they appoint you as a special deputy attorney general or special district attorney. That's one thing. But it's very different when you're in a situation like this. This is any kind of criminality has to be viewed by the Department of Justice, not the committees. They can make referrals, and they haven't made referrals on some of this. They can make a recommendation.
They made a referral on Christopher Steele.
Yeah, go ahead.
For lying about his contacts with the media and giving out source and methods to reporters. So they did make that. That came from Grassley and Graham. I mean, they have made the referrals. They've taken the steps they can. It's now up to the Department of Justice. And let me tell you something, an investigation like this, I'm outside the Mueller, but into this stuff, I mean, this would not take place in a month or two. I mean, this would take months to be taken, or even a year or more to be taken as a serious investigation. And by the way, just because you're not hearing about it, I always tell people this, doesn't mean they're not ongoing, because right. We got used to everything getting leaked out constantly under the Obama administration. It was
not here.
Every investigation was leaked out. We always knew what was going on. But actual investigations, we're not supposed to know about. Okay? So just because you're not getting it in the news doesn't mean it's not happening. It just means no one's leaked it.
Yeah. All right, let's take some more calls and comments. 1-800-684-3110. Right. Logan, I think we can take one before the break here.
Let's go to Sandra in Fort Walton Beach, Florida on line 6. You're on the air.
Prettiest beaches in the world. All right, Sandra, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was wondering, can you explain why politicians, when they've obviously broken the law, they're not arrested right away?
This is going to be the day of arrests. Okay, to be arrested, you have to have probable cause that you violated a criminal law. We're not accusing Susan Rice of violating criminal law here, okay? So I'm going to be clear. And lawyers, private lawyers, do not have the authority to initiate. That's the state or federal government or the district attorneys or in the federal system, the U.S. attorneys. So get that out of the system here. What you got to figure out, Harry, is what was taking place, why this email exists, and what was really going on. Whether there's criminality or not is a whole different question.
Absolutely. And so what we need is a broad investigation of whether or not criminality exists. But that is going to be up to the Department of Justice.
Yeah.
And there is certainly evidence available on the surface which suggests that there might have been a violation of the probable cause standard, and that could lead to another internal investigation.
As long as there's an underlying crime that may have been violated here. Now,
right.
Fan, the referral on or the conversation on Susan Rice was not in the context of criminal referral.
It was not, but it was in the context of, I think, being forced out by our FOIA litigation. I do want to tie two things quickly together, though, Jay. You mentioned the criminal referral of Steele by Grassley and Graham to the Department of Justice. That referral was for lying to the government. Well, guess what? I think we have the facts that says the FBI probably did the same thing involving the dossier. So that's got to be a two-way street. If the Department of Justice is looking at this, they should be looking at Steele, and they should also be looking at that FISA application.
Well, it's like I said, how do you not look at the situation with James Comey where he leaked a conversation that he had with the President of the United States, who was then President of the United States, and he leaked it to a friend of his to leak to the press? Not blaming the press, by the way. It's First Amendment right for them. But you're the FBI director, and you do a memo, and you leak it, your conversation with the president, and that's okay? I've been saying that for a long time, that's not okay. All right, we come back from the break. We will take, in the last segment, all the phone calls.
Oh, sure. We'll take as many as we can. 1-800-684-3110. Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. If you want your point of view heard on the air, this is the time to do it. 1-800-684-3110. You can also join us on Facebook. Get your comments in that way.
By the way, we were in federal court on a FOIA case, but it was not on this. It was actually on the Israel matter we were talking about yesterday. So that's what that one was about. So again, working on different levels and different cases around the globe. All right, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. We come back from the break.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
So we had audio delay here, but we're back on the air.
All right.
We're going to take some phone calls.
Good recovery there, Logan.
Hey, I'm watching out for everybody.
You are. So you I was enjoying the our band's rendition of the song Fooling Yourself, which for a Facebook and Periscope audience, you say you want to hear it. At the end of the broadcast, we'll play the whole thing. We played that live at Judson University. All right, let's go ahead. We said we take calls. Let's take them.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Teresa in Texas online too.
Hey, Teresa in Texas, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks, you guys, for everything that you do. Want to say that first off the bat.
Sure.
But in regards to this memo that she sent to herself, I worked as an executive assistant, and I used to do that all the time, especially with big meetings like that. And it is to cover herself.
So this is what I'm trying to figure out. I mean, I don't disagree. I mean, it's the first thing I said. She's covering herself, but I can't figure out, Harry, what exactly she's covering herself from. That's what I don't think we have the answer to that. And it's speculation, but
absolutely. And suspicion rises because she sends this memo to herself 2 weeks after the initial meeting. So her recollection could not be fresh.
No, I think that's why it's very simple. It's a couple of things. There is a redaction here, which means there's something that may be classified as national security. So the senators, I believe, have that. They would have been able to assess that, and they made that redaction. But to me, the key is that she's covering President Obama. That's obvious because she says that the president began the conversation stressing his continued commitment to ensuring that every aspect of this issue, this is the Trump-Russia collusion, is handled by the intelligence and law enforcement communities, quote, by the book. Now, maybe he felt like he needed to tell Jim Comey that after the Hillary Clinton investigation fiasco of opening and closing and then reopening and then closing again. Maybe he felt like he needed to tell that to Jim Comey. But instead, what I believe is that this is, again, just the cover of the Susan Rice covering the president. This is what's so bizarre to me. I said this on Fox News because if you're the president of the United States, you're busy even those final days because you got wars going on, troops going on, and you're having to close up shop. I mean, you're having to move on. The president stressed that he's not asking about, initiating, or instructing anything from a law enforcement perspective. He reiterated that our law enforcement teams need to proceed as it normally would by the book. So within two sentences, again, he said by the book twice, and he wasn't asking about anything at all. I mean, so again, why be there?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason for the president of the United States to even be in this meeting if he's not asking any questions.
I don't know. I mean, the truth is, I don't know.
Asking is not, if he is, you're going to use the President of the United States time and he can't ask a question. But see, I think it's parsed. She says, and they do too in the Senate, law enforcement activities. That is different from counterintelligence activities.
Right.
If they're talking about like domestic law enforcement versus counterintelligence and espionage.
Right, exactly. Could be either one. I mean, so we'll say 1-800-684-3110. We're going to keep taking the calls.
All right, let's go Joanne on line one in Ohio.
Hey, Joanne.
On the air.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
No, I kind of tend to agree with Harry. I think this is one great big CYA for more than just Obama and Susan Rice, maybe everyone in that room. But what my thing is Lindsey Graham and Grassley send her a questionnaire. This woman has covered, fabricated, lied.
So let's ask Than about that because you're raising the point, Joanne. So, Than, what have the senators asked her to produce or questions they've asked her?
Yeah, they want written answers to a whole slew of questions. And I understand the caller's skepticism that she will be honest. But, Jay, this is why we do FOIA on the outside, because we will have access to additional records that we can compare and contrast and see if there's truth here. And let me just underscore something that Jordan said, because I think the question to ask here is, how was the dossier described to President Obama? Because remember, in this same two-week period, they were using the dossier in the FISA court to obtain a warrant, and they were telling the incoming president that it was salacious and unverified. So which of those versions, Jay, which of those versions did they tell President Obama it was? That's the answer I want to know.
Yeah, that's it. No, it's a good question. I mean, it's a valid question. And Harry, I don't think. Look, I mean, we're speculating here. They're all calling it. We're calling it odd and unusual. Last day, 2 weeks back, James Comey, next day meets with the president about the dossier. It is unusual, and it's odd, but we need to get her to explain it.
Absolutely, and it's important from a background perspective to note that since the dossier was salacious and unverified, it could not legally have been the basis for the FISA warrant. And so the question becomes, was that communicated to President Obama? Was he aware of the fact that there was no probable cause for the FISA application? Did he encourage James Comey to accelerate the renewal of the FISA yep. warrant or not? We don't know. There are so many questions yep. here, and there are so many questions about his involvement. Susan Rice covered for Secretary Clinton with respect to the Benghazi investigation earlier. Maybe she's covering for President Obama now.
It raises a whole host of constitutional issues, too. I mean, you got the separation of powers. You've got the Article 1 authority, Article 2 authority. You got with FISA, you got Article 3. I mean, it really does cover the gamut of the constitutional issues, and that's what we look at. All right, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Let's grab another one, Logan.
All right, John in Washington, line 2. You're on the air.
Hey, John, go ahead.
Thank you for all you do. My impression, and I don't have all the moving parts put together, but my impression is that the Democrats wanted to do whatever they could to trip up the new president, rather than doing the honorable thing and giving all the information to President Trump so he can hit the ground running.
Look, I mean, there were a lot of changes that were made right at the end. We talked about the NSA sharing of documents or the way it was shared within the executive order change. That took place. There's the line in the Susan Rice email that says, "Hey, the president raises what we should or should not tell the incoming administration."
Yes, I mean,
clearly they didn't tell him that there was a FISA warrant.
From a national security perspective, President Obama said he wants to be sure that as we engage with the incoming team, we are mindful to ascertain if there is any reason we cannot share information fully as it relates to Russia. The president asked Comey to inform him if anything changes in the next few weeks. I guess he would know that because Comey probably told him, hey, I'm going to see. Unless that was the whole reason for this meeting, Comey would have probably said at this point, I'm going to see the president-elect tomorrow. And by the way, that was about part of that meeting was about the dossier and how it affects what classified information we share. Now, interesting enough, the moment you take that oath and then you are at the White House, they can't block any classified information from you.
Not.
And I think that's when the president was starting to get upset because he realized what was going on with this previous administration. There was a lot of, again, what appeared to be political meddling by by law enforcement officials and intelligence officials. Yeah. This is nothing new from us.
No.
We've been saying the whole time that it looked like they were spying on the Republican candidates and then focused their attention on the Trump campaign when they got the nomination.
That's
what we've said on our broadcast for 2 years.
Yeah. So
it's all just coming together now. And on paper from Susan. Thank you, Susan Rice. Because now we know President Obama was getting briefed on it.
Well, that's what she says. She doesn't say what exactly the topics of what the briefing is. Although she does say it's
Russia.
So, yeah. You know what? I think the situation is this. It's an odd and unusual email. And we don't have the answers to it. What we're bringing to you is the facts. Now, what I'm going to put together, as our team put together, is a timeline. I want to know all the timeline. And then Harry and I are going to discuss when we're done with radio today what constitutional issues could be raised here with Article 1, legislative, Article 2, the executive, Article 3, as it relates to the judiciary, because all three of them intersect on all this. But I think getting a timeline would be very helpful. All right, well, that does it for the broadcast today. Logan's going to let you know how you can stay engaged with the ACLJ.
Yep, find us on aclj.org. You can obviously like us on all social medias. At Jay Sekulow, Jordan Sekulow, Logan Sekulow, ACLJ, Than Bennett. Find all those on Facebook as well. Download the ACLJ app, available in the App Store, available on Roku Channel Marketplace. And subscribe to the Jay Sekulow Podcast. Talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.